In this series of messages on priority, we have covered the priority of loving God, loving others, the priority of commitment, the priority of wisdom, and the priority of the church, the ecclesia. And today we're going to look at the priority of forgiveness. In his book on total forgiveness, Pastor R.T. Kendall tells of a time when someone who he greatly admired thought that he was just about the best kind of guy that you could get to know, had a very close relationship with him, but he did something to hurt Kendall very, very deeply. He doesn't say in his book exactly what it was, but he explains how profoundly angry he became, how disappointed he became. Even though he greatly admired this person, he lost all admiration for him. So he was filled with anger. He was filled with bitterness, and all he could think about was how he had been hurt. And every place he went, he talked about it. He decided that maybe he better talk to a pastor friend of his and see what kind of a conclusion they could come to because of the hurt that he was going through. As he sat down with his pastor friend, he poured out all of the details that he could think of, how difficult it was for him to deal with what had happened to him, the hurt that he experienced, the anger that he was experiencing right now. And as he went through all of those details, his pastor friend said, "Whoa. You must totally forgive him." "What? You didn't understand what I was saying. Did you understand the details that I gave you about how much he hurt me? How difficult it was for me to deal with what he did to me?" Preacher friend, hand up his hand. "You must totally forgive him." "Well, let me go through this again." And so he began to cough up more details. His preacher friend said, "Hey, totally forgive him and you'll be set free." Pretty hard. If we are definitely hurt by somebody, it's sometimes hard to forgive him. But what Kendall says is absolutely true. What his preacher friend said, you must forgive or you will not be set free. If you totally forgive him, then you will be set free. There isn't a person here who hasn't been hurt by someone. I don't know to what degree you've been hurt, but if you are still harboring any animosity towards the person who inflicted a hurt upon you, you must forgive them. And then on the other hand, we also have hurt somebody by what we have said, by what we have done, and they need to forgive us as well. But that isn't always the way it works. Release him and you will be set free. That is the teaching of God's word. The very moment you think about those words, the mind begins to argue. "Well, but you don't know what he or she did to me. She intended to destroy my career, and she did." That's how the mind starts to work. "You can't imagine the horror I've been through because of what they did to me." If you knew what this has done to my family, you would be angry too, and you would not find it in your heart to forgive. They deserve to suffer like they've made me suffer. And you know, that's what our world teaches. You know, all of these movies that you see where somebody is hurt, the whole movie is about revenge. I'm going to get even. That's stupid. What the scripture says is forgive, and you'll be set free. I think they need to pay for what they have done to me. That's not what the scripture teaches, but that's what the world teaches, and that's what we are taught in the world. But when we come to the Word of God, it's a whole different thing. Forgive, and you'll be set free. Let's face it, you don't go through life without getting hurt by somebody, no matter what it might be. I hope that you don't remember what it is. But if you do remember, it's a time to forgive and forget about that whole situation. Here's what the scripture says. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. By the way, there are five judgments in the scripture. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. That's exactly true. People can get hurt over little things, in between things, or big things. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. This all depends on how much we appreciate and understand the forgiveness of God. We will forgive to the exact amount that we understand how we have been forgiven. We kind of take that for granted, don't we? Christ in God forgave you. Christ in God forgave you. How much has He forgiven you? 100%. Totally, He has forgiven us. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. That is a powerful passage of Scripture. Paul declares in 1 Corinthians 13:5, forgive. Forgive, forgive. He says, boy, this is a tough one. Love keeps no record of wrongs. In my 61 years in the ministry, I've counseled a lot of people. And I have counseled people who know exactly when they were hurt. They can tell you the day, the year, the month, and the hour of the day. And for 10 years, they haven't forgot it. Or 20 years, they haven't forgot it. And they can come for counseling and say, I want to share with you how I have been hurt. Forgive them. Can't. I want revenge. I want them to go through what I've been through. You'll never be set free. They will never be set free. The scripture says you don't keep account of those things that have hurt you. That is pretty tough stuff. But there are those who have a notebook that tells you when, where, and how, and exactly what it was. But that's not what the scripture says. Love keeps no record of wrongs. So if you are in a situation where you are wronged, where you are hurt, where you have been deceived, where you have been taken to the cleaners, what do? You sit around and be angry? What good does it do? What good does it do? It doesn't do any good, but it hurts you. It hurts you physically. We'll talk about that in just a few minutes. But true love doesn't keep score. I like the way it's put in 1 Corinthians 13:5. Love doesn't keep score of the sins of others. Oh, if we tried that, that's all we'd do. But it doesn't keep score of the sins of others, and we have plenty of sins of our own that we need to take to the Lord every day and ask him for forgiveness. Bottom line is, love forgives. What a priority that would be in this world if, look at the political world. There's no forgiveness there. There's only hatred. The finest, purest, highest example of forgiveness was spoken from the cross by the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. When he hung on that cross, condemned to death, totally 100% innocent, but condemned to death, by lying witnesses, by religious leaders who hated him and wanted to do desperate things to him because they wanted revenge. Revenge is a big word in this world. And so many people want revenge, and they're going to try to get it one way or the other. But what good does it do? It does absolutely no good. So with the Lord Jesus Christ, they produced lying witnesses. A mob assembled, and they cheered his suffering. They blasted him while he hung upon the cross. They did everything imaginable, thinking that, boy, I'm feeling good now because I'm able to go by the cross and say nasty things about the Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. So how did Jesus deal with that issue? Here's what the scripture says. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they are doing. And they didn't. They didn't understand who Jesus really was. And they thought that by going by and saying nasty things about him, throwing their insults at him, that somehow they were getting revenge. Somehow they were bringing comfort to themselves, but they weren't. They could not possibly do that. And so Jesus Christ said, Father, Father, forgive these, I think I'd have added the word idiots, but that's not in the scripture. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. And that is so true. They had no clue as to what they were doing. These words sweep away all of our shabby excuses. If the Lord Jesus Christ hanging on the cross, being so infiltrated with the evil of people, and yet he could look down from that cross and say, Dad, forgive them, for they don't have a clue what they're doing. As these people went by, It reveals their barrenness of heart. There was nothing left for them. They could go through life and never, ever experience the joy of forgiveness. What they did was flat out sin. That's all there is to it. Many of us say, if only people who hurt me would show some remorse or some sorrow, if they would do something to acknowledge that they hurt me so bad, then I would feel better about forgiving them. But as long as they can't do that, I'm not going to forgive them. But as Kendall's friend said, you must forgive them totally and completely. Wow. That's hard, isn't it? Think about what has happened to you in your life. And then consider Jesus Christ on the cross. Those who passed by and insulted him, they taunted him. When Jesus died, the people who put him to death were quite pleased with themselves. Wow. This Jesus who came along teaching love and compassion, we've gotten rid of him. We don't have to listen to him anymore. What did the people do? Pilate washed his hands. I'm free of the whole thing. Liar. You couldn't be free of the whole thing. The Jewish leaders hated him. You know, when you study this in the Greek, in the Hebrew language and in the Greek language, the hatred that these people had to the Lord Jesus Christ reaches 100%. I mean, I don't know how you could hate such a man as hatred as these people had for the Lord Jesus Christ. But they did. And so when he died on the cross, they were excited. They were happy. They were pleased. But it didn't last long, because on the third day he was resurrected. They were happy that he suffered and that he died. Evil was certainly in the air on that day. Evil that we can't even imagine. No one said, I was wrong. No. The religious leaders never said, we did the wrong thing. They said, boy, this is great. And Jesus said, if you can imagine the degree of hatred and animosity against the Lord Jesus Christ, and Father said, forgive them. You know, it takes a God to forgive them. I couldn't. Could you? For they don't know what they're doing, and they didn't. They had no clue who the Lord Jesus Christ really was. And our Father in heaven was exactly right. Forgive them because they don't understand what they are doing. Forgiveness to people who hurt us deliberately and repeatedly. What do? Forgive them. No matter how many times. You know, this is jumping ahead just a little. Oh, I have to jump way ahead. I get tickled at Peter. I always get tickled at Peter. Forgiveness does not mean, these are trying to understand forgiveness. Forgiveness does not mean we approve of what someone else did. That's not the point. It isn't ours to approve or disapprove. Ours is simply to forgive. Forgiveness is a conscious decision to release others from their sin against you so that you can be set free. And if you don't do that, you won't be set free. I get tickled at Peter. I don't know about you, but he came to the Lord Jesus Christ on one occasion, and he pulled himself up in his boot as far as he could get. And he said, "Hey, Lord, how often should I forgive somebody who sins against me? Should I do it 7 times? Peter thought, boy, that's a lot to forgive somebody. And Jesus looked him in the eye and he said, 70 times 7. 70 times 7. That's not saying, that 7 times isn't a good deal. But 70 times 7 is so many, so often, 490. What it really means in the Greek language is you never stop. You never, ever stop forgiving anybody. No matter what it is, you forgive them. Not because it changes your relationship to them, it may not. Not because you approve of what they have done, it doesn't mean that you're going to do that. But it does mean, and the relationship that you have with somebody when you forgive them may not ever be the same as what it was before. And that happened with RT. The relationship that he had with that man before all of the stuff that he went through, trying to not forgive him, but to get revenge, their relationship was never the same. So that's what there is about this whole business of forgiveness. It doesn't mean that the relationship will ever be what it was, but it does mean that you are freed because you do forgive. And old Peter, he thought he was just the cats meow and the dogs bark and the cows moo, because he thought, wow, 7 times is a big number. And Jesus shot that to pieces, 70 times 7. And what he was really saying is you never stop. 490, well, that's a lot for sure. Meaning you never stop forgiving somebody who hurts you. And remember, it's good for you to be forgiven too by someone who you have harmed and hurt. Maybe it's just a word that you have said. Maybe it's just something you have done that hurts that person. Forgiveness is a conscious decision. It isn't an accidental decision. It's a conscious decision to release others from what they have done against you, or what you just seem to consciously have to forgive. Remember what he raised his hand, forgive him. Forgive him for completely. Not just a little tiny bit, but totally and completely forgive them. Would this world be better off if we forgave each other? Yes. Yeah. Would we be better off politically if we saw our politicians forgive each other instead of trying to shoot each other, instead of trying to make each other look like an idiot? Oh, my. Forgiveness is letting go. Letting go of the pain. Letting go of the past. Letting go of whatever took place. Forgiveness means refusing to think about it, talk about it. That's the problem with holding that stuff in your heart. You can't sleep at night. You toss and turn about it. You go through the day thinking about it. You can't do anything because you're all just concerned about getting revenge. You can forgive when the other person has done nothing to earn forgiveness. Nobody earns forgiveness. If you've been hurt, if I've been hurt, you don't earn forgiveness. You just give forgiveness. Why? Because God in Christ has forgiven you. Wow. If you understand what God has done for you and for me, it won't be so hard to forgive somebody else. And we must do that. So if there's anybody in your life that you need to forgive, I trust that you'll look for them and forgive them. Anger, bitterness, malice, and hatred, those are the things that happen when you can't forgive. Bitterness, malice, hatred, those are the tormentors that come as a result of being unable to forgive. Matthew 18:33. This is from the King James Bible. This is how my Heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. Wow, if we don't forgive, tormentors will come. And those tormentors are terrible because they keep us from doing what the Lord wants us to do. Do the hard things. Love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spiritually use you and persecute you. If you don't, the tormentors will come. That's a reality. I've seen it in so many people. All they can do is talk about how they've been hurt, and they can't get on with life. They can't get on with doing anything positive. They are just hung in this whole business of inability to forgive and to move on in life. I'm going to skip some stuff because I'm way over time already. Let me close with a true illustration. Mary Johnson and Hoshea Israel often appear together in person in prisons, churches, and schools, sharing about their unlikely partnership. It's very unlikely because 25 years ago, Hoshea Israel shot Mary's only son to death in a gang war. After a time of weeping and seeking God's help, Mary was convicted to visit Hoshea in prison. She began by telling him of the overwhelming grief, pain, and hurt that she experienced because he shot her son to death. Then she began to share the Lord Jesus Christ with Hoshea. And over a period of time, Hoshea became a Christian. And the two of them teamed up to go to whoever would have them and share about the joy of forgiveness. And because of what Jesus had done for her, She was now ready to fully, fully, fully forgive Hosea. Now, I want you to think about that. He had shot her son to death, a number of bullets. And now she was able to fully forgive him for what he had done. Not only did he weep about what he had done, he became a child of God, accepted Jesus Christ, found forgiveness for himself, teamed up with her, and they went wherever they were invited to talk about the wonderful, wonderful peace that both of them had found in forgiveness of such a terrible deed. Wow. Mary could be forgiven because Jesus paid the price and forgave her. He could be forgiven because he found a relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ and experienced the same forgiveness as Mary experienced. Wow. We will forgive to the extent we acknowledge how much we have been forgiven. You can take that one to the bank. We will only forgive to the extent that we acknowledge how much we have individually been forgiven. If you understand how much you have been forgiven by the Lord Jesus Christ, to that extent you will be able to forgive others. And what a wonderful world it would be if we could do that. What a wonderful church it would be if we could do that. How much better we would live for the Lord Jesus Christ if we could do that. So this morning, our hymn of invitation, if you need to forgive somebody and you're having a hard time with it, come forward and we'll pray with you. And this is a beautiful closing song. Oh, how he loves you and me. Oh, how he loves you and me. He gave his life. What more could he give? There wasn't anything else to give. Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves. Let's be standing as we sing.
Oh, how.